Every year, actually, it's been our third, be our third or fourth year doing that with Victory Outreach. They, the people that you saw standing in line outside, they start lining up at 10 a.m. in the morning. We open the doors at 5 p.m. And they stand there all day to get a toy for their children. They come into a room about half the size. I share the gospel with them. So they come up about 500 at a time. Then they go downstairs, get a bag of food, get toys and a Christmas tree if they want it. And then there's games outside and a stage with music. It is a very humiliating experience for them, I'm sure. And the first year we did it, we had about 4,000, 3,000 to 4,000 people. And after the first group came up, I went outside to see how long the line was because it took like a half an hour. I'm thinking, we're going to be here till 1 o'clock in the morning. The line went all the way down the street and around the corner. And it's cold, you know, it's December. And so if you would like to, one, bring a toy so we can give the kids toys. Next week, just bring a toy unwrapped for a little kid so they can know which one they want. And just bring it to the church or bring it to our office. You have our phone number in the bulletin. And if you want to come and minister, you know, bring cocoa. If you have like a little espresso machine, go up and down the line and give them some tea or coffee. It will be a great blessing for those people. Most of us, probably all of us in here, can go to the store and buy our child a toy. Imagine how humbling it is to stand in line for hours to give your son and daughter a toy. So we go down there, we love them, we share the gospel to every single one of them. And when you saw that little kid praying and he did like this, they were all getting saved. That's what that was. And it's just, the kids are beautiful. The little kids were holding the signs. They're so cute. And the reason they was, I was saying, muh, is because in Spanish, it's mira. And they were not, that's what he was saying. He was pronouncing the words in Spanish, so I was trying to get them to say more, which is not the correct way, but it was, we were having a good time. But it is so fun because the kids are so cute. And so if you want to come down and experience that and get your heart broke, come on down there a week from Wednesday. And the Miles Ahead table we have outside, we have a lot of information if you want to know anything about it. Now, before I get into the word, I want to do show you an update on the Rock University. I've been talking about this for a while, and about getting people into the Word, and we're going to show you what the web page is going to look like. This is the Rock University. If we can scroll up a little bit or down, whichever way, there you go. Rock U. And now, see, it says January 1 to 7. The column kind of in the middle says Bible reading schedule, and to the right it'll say Genesis 1 through 17 for the first week. Then it'll say current book, and it'll say Genesis Book of Beginnings. And then see where it says Book of Beginnings? There's a little button that says FMI, okay, to the right. If you hit that button, it'll tell you 10 things that began in Genesis. Go ahead and hit that button. Hit that button. There you go. There are 10 things that began in Genesis, and there are 10 questions. And then if you hit that next button, it'll tell you the answers to those questions. And so you can kind of have a little quiz. Now let's go back to the very first page. And every week we'll have something like that. And then down we have Bible difficulty right there on the left there, Bible difficulty. This Bible difficulty is in the Bible. It talks about telling Noah to take two animals. And then it, later on it says take seven. Why is that? Well, if you hit that button, it'll explain to you why. Some animals were sacrificed, some for food, and some were for population. So he took extra animals. Let's go back to the beginning. Then there's a Bible trivia question. Can you name the three religions that Abraham was the father of? And they are Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. Go back to the beginning. Down there you have a memory verse, and you also have the books of the Bible that we're going to memorize, the first five books. And if you hit that button, it'll have all the books of the Bible, and that will eventually all memorize. Every week, the information pretty much will change because our reading will change. So the difficulties will change, the trivia will change. Every month we'll learn five or six more new books of the Bible. And we're going to go through this all next year as we read through the Bible. So this you don't have to pay for. It's on the internet. It's on our webpage. You cannot see it today. We're going to just tease you until January. And then we're only going to show you what you need to know. We're not going to put up, I think we'll have a month or two prepared, but we're only going to put up a week at a time so you can focus and learn. If you do this every week, just punch through these buttons and read it, you're going to learn by the end of the year You can learn all the books of the Bible, 52 verses, 52 Bible trivias, 52 Bible difficulties. You're going to learn, you're going to have read through the whole Bible, and you're going to learn so much stuff that just that you don't know. I mean, I've just been reading this stuff. We have a research team. They've been sending us stuff, just reading the stuff they've been sending in. I've been learning a lot of stuff. So it's really going to be an exciting year, and that's Rock University. We will have an exam every 3 months and a final exam at the end of the year if you want to do that and test how much you're learning. And so it's going to be a very educational and get you educated about the Bible. Okay. Amen? Amen. Let's... And you can, you know, we have a research team, and they are researching this stuff every day. And if you want to be part of that research team, you can call up the church and say, I want to do research. Some people like to look stuff up. Go for it. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Is everybody awake this morning? Okay, let's word. Okay. Pen. And bulletin. Okay. Turn to Romans chapter 8. We are going to do something very different today. Romans 8. How many visitors do we have? Just raise your hand. We won't ask you to do anything. Just to raise your hand. God bless you. Thanks for coming. God bless you. Okay, we're going to do something different today for the first few minutes. This week and next week, I'm going to talk about prayer. Next week, I'm going to talk about fasting. I mentioned that last week. And so if you want to learn about fasting, and it doesn't have to be food, it could be TV, it could be talking. That would be a hard one for me. It could be, you could take a fast on breathing. I asked a friend of mine, he was dealing with his wife, and he was talking about his wife, and I said, you ever ask your wife what would make her really happy? And he says, what do you think that would be? He says, she would be really happy if I stopped breathing. So, you know, maybe you need to take a fast on breathing, but what I want to talk about today is prayer and praying with the Holy Spirit. Not necessarily praying in tongues. You'll understand that in a minute, even though that is biblical and a gift from God. But first, I want to practice praying. Prayer is as simple as this, communicating with God. Prayer is not whining to God, complaining to God, give me, give me, give me, give me, God. Prayer is communicating with God. Okay, the reason I want to stress communicating is because a lot of us will pray and ask God a question and then say amen. And God's like, so you have to understand that prayer is communicating with God. In other words, you're communicating to him, he is communicating to you. So before we get into this, let's just say a word of prayer real quick, and that God would encourage us to communicate properly. Lord, we just pray, I pray you would give us a desire to pray. Help us to understand how to pray. Help us to pray properly and effectively and powerfully. And I pray we would expect to hear you speak back to us. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, call me and I will answer you and tell you great mighty things you do not know. Now, when you call to God, it's not only God, tell me something or do something for me, but it's God, take this burden off my back. And so when you communicate to God, it could be information, it could be a request, it could be a thanks, a praise. But the key thing is that God answers you. And God's answer is the focus of our prayer. In other words, we're praying because we want to see what's God's response. What I just read in Jeremiah 33:3, that God will tell you great and mighty things you don't know. That means when you pray to God, you're like, okay, what's he going to say? Because what God has to say is a whole lot more important than what we have to say. A lot of times we think what we have to say is the most important thing. It's like God should be like, okay, tell me something I don't know. God ain't doing that. He's like, I know what they're going to say. They're going to say the same thing they said yesterday. But it's what God has to say to us That is the reason we pray. What we're going to do is, and in our small groups in the church, I teach people to pray an acrostic or acronym, AWSIPA. Everybody say AWSIPA. AWSIPA. It's AWCIPA. Very good. A is for admire God. W is for wait. C is for confess. I is for intercede for other people. P is petition. That's the one we do all the time. Me, God, me. And then A is for admire God again. My challenge to you, encouragement to you, is to pray one letter at a time. In other words, when you pray, spend the first few minutes just thanking God and admiring God. Because many people pray like this. Here's how people pray. Now, when I pray this, I want you to imagine someone talking to you this way. Dear God, thank you for today. I just pray I have a good day. Oh, Lord, can you help me get a good job? I don't know why I don't have a girlfriend. Can you help me get a girlfriend? I'm sorry for looking at that magazine yesterday. I don't know what I was thinking about. Dear Lord, bless my sister, and I'm sorry for my sin. And amen. And now, God, because he's very intelligent, is not doing this. What are they talking about? But I think that he's saying to himself, do they know what they're talking about? Because if you're praying about this, praying about this, praying about this, praying about this, you're asking, you're complaining, you're whining, you're confessing. Do you even know what to expect when you're done? And so what I'm going to challenge you today is to pray in one area. First, to thank God. Don't ask him for anything. Don't pray for anybody else. Don't confess sin. Just say, God, I want to spend a few minutes thanking you. Then what we're going to do is we're going to spend a few minutes praying for somebody else. And it could be 1, 5, 10 people, people you don't know, your enemies, your friends. And we're going to pray for other people. Then we're going to spend a few minutes praying for ourselves. This should be easy. God, this is for me. You can pray for things. You can ask God anything you want. You can pray for wisdom. You can pray for strength, encouragement. Maybe you're depressed. God, give me your peace. It's okay. God doesn't have to do what you say, but he wants you to ask him everything. So what I want you to do right now is I'm going to ask you in a second to get in a group of 2 or 3 or whoever you came with, and we're actually going to do this. You're going to pray out loud, and we're going to keep it very focused. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to thank God. I don't want you asking him for anything. I don't want you to pray for anybody. I don't want you to confess any sin. I just want you to thank him for something. So let's right now get in our groups. I'm going to start it. You can turn your chairs if you want, and I'm going to start it. Okay, let's close our eyes. I want you to listen very closely. For some of you, this is going to be, you're going to feel uncomfortable. It is okay. You cannot mess this up. You can. The Bible says in Matthew 4:10, Jesus said to Satan, "Away with you, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Dear Lord, for a couple of minutes, we're going to worship you. We're going to thank you, and we're going to tell you how much we appreciate you for who you are and what you've done in our life. So go ahead and do that for 2 minutes in your circle.
Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to pray, and I pray now as we pray for other people that you would put people on our minds and our hearts, not necessarily people that we get along with, even people who could be our enemies. The Bible says that you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Lord, as we pray for other people, we pray for healings, for salvation, and to improve relationships we may have and need to have with people. So go ahead and pray for somebody else. Lord, we thank you that we can pray for other people, and I pray now that as we pray for ourselves, we would ask you with freedom, whatever's on our heart, and knowing that you love us, knowing that you're not mad at us, that we would ask you according to your Holy Spirit and what you guide and direct us to ask you, believing that you want to bless us. Just spend a couple minutes praying for yourself. Lord, we just pray that you would mold and shape our heart. I pray that we would become better praying people, more consistent praying people, faithful and biblically praying people, and that we would look for the answers in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. For some of you, that was no big deal. For some of you, you were very uncomfortable because you didn't want to pray out loud in front of people you don't know. For some of you, you prayed for 30 seconds and ran out of stuff to say. Now, let's think about this. If you prayed for 30 seconds and ran out of stuff to say, or you felt yourself kind of not really saying anything meaningful, I want you to imagine that you're talking to the God of the universe. And for you or for me, for any of us, to run out of things to say, whether it be reason to thank him, things to ask for, what that means is that there's a lot of room for our relationship with him and our knowledge of him to grow. Because when you pray for yourself, for example, we probably could think of a whole bunch of stuff we would ask for ourselves, but how many of the things you ask for yourself according to what the Bible says? In other words, do you ask for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, his wisdom, his power, his anointing, his direction, his guidance, his ministry for you, the gifts that he has given you for them to explode? I mean, many times what we ask for has nothing to do with any of that. We're asking for cars, we're asking for a boyfriend, girlfriend, a job, better hair, lose weight, you know, whatever it is, straight teeth, white teeth. And he's like, ask for spiritual stuff. When you thank God, are you thanking him for things he has done, insight he's given to you, relations he's put you in, the trials he's put in your life, the lessons he's taught you? And this is all the stuff as you read the Bible. And as you pray and you walk with God, he gives you insight into what to say to him and how to even ask him for stuff according to what he has promised you. Because when you ask God according to his promises, guess what he's got to do? He's bound because he can't lie. He can't lie. In other words, if you come to God humbly and ask him to forgive you, guess what? He has to forgive you. He has to forgive you. If you pray in Jesus' name and ask him to and you want to repent of your sin, he has to forgive you. So the more of the word you know, the more according to the word you pray, the more powerful your prayers are. Okay? So even though we only spend 2 minutes, you could spend 2 minutes, 5 minutes, and the more you get to know God, the longer those sections are going to become and the more Spirit-led those sections are going to become. What I want to talk about today is praying with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm talking about praying according to what the Holy Spirit wants you to pray. I'm going to read some verses to you. The Bible tells us throughout the Bible in Ephesians that we should pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Jude 1:20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So the Bible tells us to pray with the Holy Spirit. The Bible also tells us that the Holy Spirit is a person. Now, when I say person, I don't mean a human person, but a he. It's not a it. It's not a light. It's a he. It's not a she. It doesn't say anything against women, but the Bible says that the Holy Spirit said, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. The Bible says also in John 14:16, Jesus says, I will pray to the Father, and he, the Father, will give you a helper, and he, the helper, will abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, Spirit of Truth, Helper, Paraclete. Everybody say para. Say para. Say paraclete. Okay, if you think of para is something alongside and clete or cleave is something with you, it's something that comes alongside of you and cleaves to you. That's the Holy Spirit. He comes alongside of you. He's in you. He's on you. You're overflowing with him, but he's there with you. He's your helper. He's your comforter. He's your illuminator, not terminator, but illuminator. Everybody say illuminator. Okay, if you really want to learn this point, put your fingers to your eyes and do this and say illuminator. You know what the illuminator does? He opens up the eyes of your heart that you may see the truth of the Bible. So when you read the Bible, you're reading, oh,
Jesus said, boom, boom, boom. Bam! That's the Holy Spirit does that, okay? So the Holy Spirit comes alongside you. The Bible says we are regenerated or born of the Spirit. The Bible says in Mark 1:8, we are baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in John 14:16, that the Holy Spirit will be with us and in us. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:13, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18 that we are that we should be drunk not with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will come upon you. He sanctifies you. Holy Spirit does this. This is sanctification. Moves you over to one purpose. Makes you holy. Takes you away from stuff in the world. Holy Spirit, if you ever felt like, you know, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to say those things. I don't want to listen to those words anymore. That's the Holy Spirit sanctifying you, saying he's taking you out of the world. When I first got saved, well, actually before I got saved, I was, you know, a heathen and cursed and got high and did all that kind of stuff. And when I got saved, I didn't want to do that anymore. And part of the sanctifying process was he separated me from my closest friend at the time. He said, no, you can't hang out with him anymore. Okay? So the Holy Spirit gives you gifts. He gives you supernatural enablings. You could supernaturally teach the word. You could supernaturally pray. You could supernaturally have wisdom, words of knowledge. If you've ever been walking down the street or talking to somebody, and all of a sudden you just know something, especially if you're ever counseling somebody and they're talking to you and they're crying and you're trying to figure out what they're saying, and all of a sudden you know they have this kind of problem. They have that kind of, that's God. That's not you. Don't think you're that intelligent. You can just pick information out of the sky. It's God giving you a word of knowledge. Some people have the gift of healing. They pray for people and they get healed supernaturally. So the Holy Spirit gives you gifts. The Holy Spirit also comforts you. He gives you peace, surpasses all understanding. In other words, you can have a uncertain situation in your life or a bad situation, and God gives you peace and says it's going to be okay. But the Holy Spirit has a role when you pray. Have you ever gotten on your knees to pray and you did this? Dear God, amen. God's like, what? You don't know what to say. You mentioned someone's name. I don't know what to say. Guess what? Look at Romans 8. Romans 8. Are we in Romans 8? Romans 8, 26. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us, remember interceding, prays for us, with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit, when you are on your knees praying and you don't know what to say, the Bible says the Holy Spirit prays on our behalf with groanings you can't even utter. And look what it says in verse 27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now watch this. Here you are walking in your life, doing your thing, and God has a plan for you. He has a will for you. There is something specific that God wants you to be. There's something specific that God wants you to do. There are things God wants you to read, people he wants you to be with, things he wants you to think about. His will for your life is very specific. It's not whatever you figure out. It's something he has. And when you get on your knees and pray, sometimes you're not praying about his will. You're praying about this. You're praying about that. You're praying about this, or you're not praying about anything. But the Bible says here is that when you pray and when you're unable to pray the right thing, the Holy Spirit prays for you according to the will of God. Now, let's back up here. The Holy Spirit knows the will of God for your life. Let's back up one more step. Here he is. He, the paraclete, the comforter, the helper, the teacher, He's walking next to you, and let's just imagine it's a person, just so we can help us understand this. And it's this guy, and he's your friend, and he knows God's plan for your life. He knows God's plan for your life. And here you are walking around trying to figure it out. And all God says to you is, if you call to me, I will tell you great and mighty things. In other words, if you just ask your friend, he'll tell you. But we never ask him. We try to figure it out ourselves. And we get frustrated because we don't know what to do. We don't know what God wants. And we're frustrated. And the Holy Spirit's saying, if you ask me, I will tell you. Why? Because I know God's will for your life. Turn to 1 Corinthians, the next book, chapter 2. The very next book, chapter 2. Watch this, verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. First thing I want to say is that the things God has for you, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and has never entered the mind. Guess what? You'll never even imagine. The Bible says that God wants to do and can do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ever ask or imagine. You have to believe that. You have to believe that not only God can do those things, but he wants to do those things for you and me. That he loves you that much. That what you have that you think is so good that you don't want to let go of, God says, I could do so much better than that. And so many times our stress in our life and our anger and frustration in our life come from holding on to things that God is trying to take. And things that he wants to replace with something better. And we're holding on. He's like, let me take it. My son, we bought my son a blanket when he was born. He's 12. Now I want you to imagine this. When you're little and you have a blanket, what do you do with that blanket? Chew it, drool on it. It's nasty. He is 12. So for 12 years, it's got 12 years of drool, 12 years of boy, whatever, you know, just boy stuff. He don't want to let it go. It's all tore up too. God says, you know what? I want to take that blanket away. I want to give you a new one. I don't want to let it go. Whatever you got in your life, it could be a whole career. You don't want to let it go. God says, let me tell you something. I'm never going to take anything from you and hurt you. Let me have it. And we do this. Okay, God, one finger at a time. It's going to hurt. And as soon as he takes it, he gives you something better. Now, that something better may be just peace of mind. It may be just no more burden. But let me tell you something. Whatever he puts there, it's better. So what happens is you're praying. You don't, the eye is not seen, ear is not heard, the things which God has prepared for you. When you pray, you have to believe there's always something that God has that you don't know. Look what it says in verse 10. But God has revealed those things to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now watch this. God's in heaven. And just imagine he has this big old vault with all your blessings in it. Stuff you never, you don't know. And you're sitting there praying. And you're praying based on your knowledge, your resources, your timing, your education. And the Holy Spirit saying, wait a minute. There's a whole bunch of stuff back here that God has for you. Blessings, vision, opportunity, power, relationship, resources, all back here, set up. And you're praying based on your knowledge, your experience, your resources. And the Holy Spirit's trying to intercede for you. And what we need to do, instead of praying on our own knowledge, instead of praying with our own wisdom, we need to say, Holy Spirit, what should I pray? Holy Spirit, guide and direct my prayer. Holy Spirit, give me insight into the things of God. Yes, the Bible says, the deep things of God. Show me what God has for me. Now, you may, in your prayer life, and that's why I say so many times to get a pen and write down. Because you may be praying, or you may be driving down the street, or you may be reading your Bible, sitting in church, and every now and then a thought will come into your mind that you're going to do something or should desire something that you would never, ever think is for you. A ministry, change of job, a relationship, a career, that you have a gift to preach, teach, heal, whatever. And you go, nah. And you just blow it off. And then a week later, here it comes again. Do-do-do-do. Then a week later, here it comes again. Do-do-do-do. And you keep, You know what? Guess what? God's trying to do this to you. Hey, I know what's in this vault. God has a plan for you. Nah, you know I'm planning for me. God has a plan for you. You know I'm planning for me. God has a plan for you. You know what you do? Here's what you do. Here's how you know it's God. Write it down and then start to pursue it by faith. Now, it is not going to make sense. Why? Let's read it. Watch what won't make sense. Look what it says in verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man, which is in the man? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. First thing I want to say is that the Holy Spirit that God gives us is not the spirit of the world. And let me explain it this way. The spirit that God has given us is not a spirit of, I have to earn God's blessing. I have to outdo that person to get things he does have, or better than he has. I have to pay God. Or if I do bad, he's not going to bless me anymore. That's the spirit of the world. I have to out-earn, out-learn, outdo. No. The Bible says here that the spirit that God has given you is the spirit that's going to show you what God has given you for free. Because whatever God gives you, you're never going to deserve it. Don't ever think, if I pray enough, I'm going to deserve this. Or if I read enough, I'm going to deserve this. Or if I study enough or go to church enough, I'm going to deserve this. Doesn't work that way. God freely gives it to you. The reason you pray, the reason you read, the reason you go to church, and the reason you allow him to transform you is one of the reasons so you could be responsible with what he gives you. Not so you can earn it or deserve it. No one deserves salvation. When you ask God to forgive you of your sin and you repent, he doesn't forgive you because you deserve it. What you deserve is hell. That's what you deserve. And even after you get saved, you don't deserve to him to bless you. He has blessed you because of grace. Grace is God's undeserved favor. And it will always be undeserved. The minute it becomes deserved, it's not grace anymore. So it has to be undeserved all the time. So when you pray, you have to realize that what God wants to give you is not according to the spirit of the world where you earn it and deserve it. It's according to the spirit of the spirit of God, which says, I just want to bless you according to mine, God's wisdom and purpose. So when you say, okay, God, I want to know my purpose. I want to know my blessings. I want to know how you want to honor me and use me according to your plan. And guess what? I'm never going to be good enough. But I'm going to be loved enough and blessed enough. Whenever the devil tells you you're not good enough, tell him you're right. I mean, when the devil tells you, calls you an idiot, say, great. I am an idiot. Matter of fact, I'm worse than that. But you know what? God is my security. God is the reason I can say I'm saved. You know, we have a big church. The average church in America is about as big as this section right here, 112 people. Do we have a big church because I'm better pastor than those other people? No. No. Absolutely not. This is what God did. It's up to God. It's up to God. Now, I could mess it up big time, but it's up to God. And the thing about it is that when God blesses you with something, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. You say, God, if you show me that you have all this for me, my requirement is to be responsible. That's it. But you never say, I deserve it. I'm good enough. I earned it. Oh, now I know why I have it. No.
The spirit of the world will say that, but the spirit of God says, God, I just want to be responsible and thankful for what you've given me, and the day you want to take it away, praise God on that too. Look what it says in verse 13. It says, these things we also speak in words which man, not what man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual to spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. My friends, when you pray, and watch this, when you get your pen out and you pray and you start to write stuff down, you think God's saying to you, the natural man, the unspiritual man is going to think you're crazy. You're going to start a church, you. You're going to go in ministry, you. You're going to try to teach a Bible study. You're going to share the gospel with me, you. You're going to leave your job. You're going to break up with that girl. Man, you better stay with that girl. You ain't going to ever get another one. You. When God starts to tell you stuff like that, and you write them down, you're going to go, this is crazy. The unspiritual man, and guess what? The unspiritual Christian will not understand. But the person who has faith and can believe God, let me tell you something. God, remember in Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will tell you great and mighty things you don't know. Ooh. My brothers and sisters, you need to admit to God there's a whole lot you don't know. God, I want to know stuff. I want to know some stuff. You sure? Now, if you ever, I love to, whenever I meet people who do whatever their profession is, I love to ask them questions because I want to know stuff. I was at the airport one day, 6 o'clock in the morning, and this lady came to me. She goes to church here. And she had this little cooler, little, was that you? Okay. Do you know what I'm going to say? She had this little cooler. It was about that big. It was a little styrofoam. And she had a bag of candy in her hand. She had a white jacket on. She came, how you doing, Miles? I'm from church. Blah, blah. I said, oh, how you doing? I said, what do you do? I said, I ask people all the time, what do you do? And she says, I work for the iBank. I said, what do you mean? We take eyes out of, you know, we eye transplants. We take eyes and we bring them from one person to another person. So she has this bag of candy. She says, do you want one? I was like, oh. I was so fascinated about, she had, in the cooler, she had eyes. I'll tell you a little eye joke. There was a girl that had, you got to think real hard because you might not get this. Now listen, I'm going to tell this joke, and I want you to watch how some people get it quicker than others. And remember I talked about how your brain tries to figure out the answer, and then when you get it, you laugh. That's what the Holy Spirit does when you read the Bible. Sometimes you get it. Okay, so here's a joke. There was a girl. She had eyes on her knees. They called her Niecy. Niecy. I'm not a good joke teller. I'm just funny. I'm sorry. But my point is this. When I met the girl, the lady that did the eye bank thing, I'm thinking, how do you do that? Tell me about the eyes and how you cut them out and how, you know, how does that work? Where do you cut the nerve and, you know, how do you get the eyeball out of the eye socket and all this stuff? How do you keep the fluid in it and the tension right? And think about God. Think about God. Think about if you had God to talk to about your life, your health, the relationship with your family, your kids, your wife, your parents. Think about what God knows about that. Think about what God knows about your future. I mean, how many people die thinking, not happy? I wasted my life. Did I waste all my life doing that? Think about what, if you were to ask God, you know what he says here? The natural man, they won't get it. And what God's going to tell you about your life, here's your homework for this week. Very, very, very simple. but it could change your life. This week, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 14, I want you to ask specifically the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, show me the deep things of God as they pertain to me. Show me. And you know what he's going to say? He's going to whisper to you like this. He's not going to yell at you. He's going to say, you're going to do this, or you're going to be this, or I want you to study this. And God is going to speak to you. And you know what you tell God? You write it down, and then every day you keep asking God, tell me again. And he's going to tell you over and over and over again the same thing. Or it's going to be in the same area. And he's going to speak to you. And guess what your eyes are going to start doing? Wow. Wow. And it's going to be fun. Write, 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 and write. And then start to do it. Start asking people about who do it. Ask them what they do. Learn about it. And the more you pursue and the hotter you get to God's will, the closer you get to God's will. Remember that game we used to play when you were a little kid? They put a blindfold on you and spin you around and you had to get near something. And when you walk towards it, away from it, they say, you're getting cold. And when you walk towards it, you're getting hot. The hotter you get, the more your heart's going to pound. And the more excited you're going to get. You go, okay, God, okay, God, I got it. This is fun. This is exciting. And guess what? You're going to stop worrying about money. You're going to stop worrying about circumstances. You're going to stop worrying about everything else because you're going to be so excited about God's will and God's plan. And guess what? You're going to pray more and more and more and more. And next thing you know, all the stuff that you worry about and you're concerned with, they start going away. Because God becomes more and more real to you. Pray this week that the Holy Spirit would show you the deep things of God as they pertain to your life. And know that those deep things of God are the most important things in your life. And that is the reason you exist, is for those deep things of God. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, I thank you that you want to show us the deep things as they pertain to our life. When we know the truth, we shall be set free. Free from worries, free from ignorance, free from being in the dark as to your plan. I pray that you would give us a desire this week to know those things. I pray we would be anxious in a good way, excited to know those things, that we would search for them as gold. I pray that as we pray, you would change our heart and change our life, that prayer would become more a regular part of our life, that we would learn and practice or sipa all day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.